There was an interesting survey that was conducted by HubSpot, and they found that only 3% consider salespeople to be trustworthy. Now, I'm going to give you a second to let that really set in. I want you to ponder that for a minute, because I'm certainly no mathematician, but that means that 97% of the decision makers that we meet wouldn't trust us as far as they could throw us. So this week, I have two phrases that will help you build a higher level of trust with your prospects. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 25,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready, because school is now in session. This week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our upcoming webinar, How to Nurture Prospects into Clients. I'm going to be sharing more about the upcoming webinar at the end of the podcast. But in the meantime, if you aren't driving, or if you are and you want to pull over the car and have a look for yourself, please visit yoursalesplaybook.com/prospect plan, all one word, all lowercase letters. YourSalesPlaybook.com/prospect plan. Now, before we begin, I am going to throw out a very quick apology. I'm going to try my best not to cough in your ear today, but I am battling a nasty cold because, and it's all my friend's fault, I took about a week off, went down to Florida to hang out. And we were going to the wee hours of the morning, drinking, smoking cigars, and having a really good time. And being that I am on the plus side of 50, it kind of knocked me on my ass. So no apologies about my behavior, but apologies in case I end up by coughing in your ear, and the fact that I'm chewing a cough drop right now. So now that I've gotten all the formalities out of the way, today, we're going to be talking about this idea of building trust. Many years ago, I remember having a discussion with some people about the fact that buyers and decision makers have been burned. I mean, just as we have, not just as sales reps, but we also buy things, and even other salespeople at times don't trust other salespeople. And I remember the conversation turning into, well, it's really kind of messed up that we're even thinking that people wouldn't even trust us. We should think positively. I think that's the wrong way to look at it. And it's not a matter of positive thinking and positive vibes, and we're taking a turn to negative town by thinking about this concept that a decision maker might not trust us. It's really called dealing with reality and having a plan. Because if I go into every situation thinking that they've never been burned before, that every sales rep they've met in their professional career has done right by them, and that they are going to trust me sight unseen, basically, that to me is burying your head in the sand. So it's very important that we come to the party prepared to build that trust with them. So today we're going to talk about two incredibly simple phrases. Now, I'm going to tell you, once I get to the phrases, they will take all of about a minute to teach you. They're even simpler for you to go out and implement. Seriously, you could do it immediately. It doesn't really call for much preparation. It's something you can do conversationally. But in order to set this up properly, I feel that it's very important that I teach you the bigger tactic or the bigger strategy that this is a part of. So just to set this up, I want to let you know that this is part of something that I've talked about on this podcast, and it's the concept of repetition. And I want you to understand that as a sales professional, even if we weren't talking about sales, people in your life. Whatever you say and do repeatedly and consistently throughout, in this context, the sales cycle, it gets linked to you and your solution. Let's say it again. Whatever you say and do repeatedly and consistently throughout the sales cycle will get linked to you and your solution. So repetition is important from that perspective, but it's also very, very important that we understand that we can no longer count on a prospect hearing something once and retaining it. That's another reason why you use repetition. So again, being that we're talking about repetition, just for shits and giggles, I'm going to say that again. We can no longer count on a prospect hearing something once and then retaining it. And this is why you have to use repetition. So what types of things should we repeat throughout the selling cycle? Now, there's a lot to this. Seriously, we've done episodes of this podcast just focusing on the things you should repeat. We've done entire sections of my webinars just on the types of repetition you should be using. So right now, I'm just giving you just a few quick for instances as far as repetition. So obviously, you should be repeating selling points, needs that the prospect expressed. This next one is one of my favorites. Anything that you discussed in your travels with the prospect where they perked up and they got excited. Sorry, I didn't want to cough in your ear. I muted the microphone. You're going to hear that a lot in this podcast. Sorry about that, folks. So anyway, anything where that prospect perked up and got excited, became animated. Because when you really think about it, this business of sales is an emotional game. When we have people sitting on the fence of indifference, there's no way we can get them off of that fence until they get emotional, they get excited, they feel that pain, they understand what that pain, how that pain could magnify and really burn them in the future. But not just excited about the pain, excited about opportunities as well. Don't ever forget that. It's not just about the pain, but other things that we have to use repetition on. Evidence. We use evidence, and this is very closely related to trust. We use evidence to defeat doubt and skepticism and to build trust. So evidence could be things like facts, statistics, testimonials, before and after pictures, things like that. But before we continue, what I'm trying to really get out there to you today, and the thing I really want you to own, is that we can never look at these things as one and done, where we check an item on the sales professional's checklist. Well, I did that. It's almost like building rapport. You don't build rapport once and say, okay, well, I did that. I'm no longer doing it. It's ongoing. And it's the same thing with building trust. It's no different at all. So also, anything else that you think is going to help get that prospect, again, off of the fence of indifference, where it's just easier for them to keep doing what they're doing, easier for them to just hang out with the devil they know instead of you, the devil they don't know. So the purpose of today's podcast is to really talk about how we can use repetition to build trustworthiness. Now, there are many characteristics that are important to the buyers. If we were to look at it from a buyer's perspective, what are some of the things that, if you were the buyer, that you would hope that a sales rep would possess as far as qualities? We can go down a really long laundry list, but again, fast forwarding this whole process, one of the things at that top of that list, I would think you need to be able to trust them. There could be trade secrets involved. Also, how about deadlines involved? You have to know that when a sales rep says, hey, you're going to have this by the 7th, that you could take that to the bank. You need to be able to trust them. So these phrases now that I've been talking to you about, again, are very simple. I am not going to win the most sophisticated sales trainer award by teaching them to you, but I urge you to fight your need to say duh or that sales 101 and replace it with a very simple question. Well, is this a duh moment and I'm doing it? Or is it a duh moment and I need to shut up and actually do what he's saying? So there are two phrases. Phrase number one, and you have to use both of these. You can't just use one of them to make it work. So phrase number one is, I promise to, and it's a fill in the blank phrase. I promise to, and you're going to fill in the blank. So let's say you're at the end of a meeting with a prospect, and obviously there are some homework items that they need to be doing, you need to be doing. So being the professional that you are, you're going to kind of recap what everyone's committed to. So what I would recommend that you do is use this phrase. And for example, you might say something like, I promise to get you that information by Tuesday. So what's really cool about this, now you're making the promise, and I'm going to tell you why that's important in a minute, but also you're putting a very specific timeline on it, which is also very important in your exchanges with a prospect because it helps tighten the leash. Nobody's ever going to get mad at you for putting a timestamp on when something needs to be done. Now, when you get done with that, obviously, and you review their quote-unquote homework, you're going to put a timestamp on that as well. But we're kind of getting away from the main point here. So part number one, I promise to blank. So now, when you actually do what you're supposed to do, whether it be on the 7th or, hey, better yet, you do it a day early to show them not only you're keeping a promise, but you're going above and beyond. What you're going to do is use phrase number two. Phrase number two has any number of ways you could say it, but I'm going to give you two different ways to say phrase number two. You ready? Like I promised I would. Or you might want to say, as promised. So what I might do, let's say the 7th rolls around and I pick up the phone and I call Diane. I might say something like, Diane, I wanted to get back to you with that information like I promised I would. Or I might email Diane. Hi, Diane. Here's that information as promised. So now I want to talk to you why this is so powerful. Now, these two phrases are powerful because they cement trust. Promises are rooted deep in our memory, going back to when we were children. And I want you to think about how powerful promises were, particularly then. And even when somebody broke a promise, remember that was like the worst shit in the world. Somebody, you promised. It was horrible. So if you did something horrific, if you broke a promise or someone broke a promise to you, and you can even think about this throughout your whole life, how you felt when somebody promised something to you and reneged. Not a great feeling, right? So these are deep rooted. Now, certainly nobody likes it when promises are broken, but there's a positive side to this. We always appreciate someone who keeps a promise. Probably, I don't know, I'm no Dr. Phil here, probably because we're living in a world where not everyone keeps their effing promise. Now, let's bring this into a buyer. Does everybody keep their promises to buyers? Hell no. Does everyone keep their promises to decision makers? Hell no again. Promises are broken to these people pretty much on a daily basis, certainly weekly. So they're living in that world of letdown. That leads to skepticism. And right away, excluding groups of people, salespeople, you know, you really can't depend on them, right? Take it with a grain of salt. So the other thing about using these phrases is that it immediately changes the status of a sales rep from typical sales rep calling to follow up to a trusted advisor who could be depended upon. Now, just a very quick thing. There are certain phrases in sales that I think we've beaten the piss out of. I mean, seriously, we've got to retire some of this shit. You have to add value. And if you listen to my podcast a week or two ago, I was saying, hey, what the hell does that even mean? So I did an entire podcast on how you could actually build value instead of spewing some clever little soundbite. You have to add value. Do you even know what that means, dude? I mean, seriously, you're saying it, but you don't even know what it means. Trusted advisor is another one. So this is actually a way that you become a trusted advisor. Make promises, keep the promises, develop a relationship based on trust. Now, if you think about all of the follow-up that's involved during the sales cycle, how many things that you're going to have as homework, how many things you're going to have to get back to them with, how many opportunities you have to make a promise and show them that you can deliver on those promises. Now, the thing that I wanted to say is that repetition enhances this trusted advisor status because, again, you're going to have several times throughout the entire sales process. Now, what's going to happen here is that you're proving to them, to this decision maker, that you do what you promise you're going to do. Now, you could even go one better. Again, if you put that timestamp in there, I promise to get this to you on Thursday. Then you call on Wednesday. They're going to see you go above and beyond. Again, this is not the kind of thing that's one and done, that you do it once and they say, wow, that Castain is something else. He does what he says he's going to do. We really live in a world that it takes several times. But the other thing that I want to say is that you are proving something repeatedly, and it's more powerful than doing what most salespeople do. Most salespeople, they over-explain how awesome they are as a sales rep and how awesome their company is. And I don't mean it in a conceited type way. Hey, I'm the greatest sales rep ever. But they talk about how much their clients love them and how they always do incredible things and everything else. And I'll never forget a meeting that I had years ago. And I have to tell you that it was during a period of time that I heard what I'm going to share with you more than once in several meetings. And if you find yourself in scenarios where more than one person is saying something to you, it might not be them. It might be you. It might be something about you that, and actually a lesson for you to own and embrace. Well, quite a few people at this period of my development as a sales rep had said to me, well, Paul, you get paid to say great things about your company. So once that started happening a lot, I started realizing that, you know, maybe I'm a little too slick on my presentation and I'm using all the right fancy words and phrases and everything, but I'm not doing enough to really build the trust by using evidence, by demonstrating to someone that they could trust me. Because again, I could tell you all day long that I'm a great sales trainer and that I've been at it for this amount of time. I work for Dale Carnegie. I've trained 25,000 sales reps. And forgive me, earmuffs, kids, if bad language bothers you. But really, in the whole scope of things, it really means jack shit. I mean, it really doesn't mean anything to you. But if I demonstrate my expertise to you, which hopefully through things like this podcast, a lot of my social media posts, my blog posts, in conversations that I might have with you one-on-one, I am demonstrating that expertise. Demonstrating a quality is far more powerful than over-explaining a quality to someone. So in this context, the quality we're talking about is trustworthiness and trust. So, I mean, if you think about it, which one packs a lot more punch? Me telling you to trust me, oh, you can trust me, or how others have trusted me, versus me demonstrating that I can be trusted, that when I tell you something, you could take it to the bank. That's really what I have for you folks. It's very simple. But again, I don't want you to dismiss this because of its simplicity. In fact, I'd like for you to do something. I purposely made this tip so simple that you'd almost have to say to yourself, dude, why the hell didn't you do it? Castain probably did the damn tip for us. What I'd like for you to do is I want you to get this on your calendar to use it. If you have some meetings coming up this week, I want you to roll it out in the meetings. Everything that you learn and all these meetings you have, all the prospecting calls you have, that should be your laboratory. That's where you should be experimenting, putting your own spin on a lot of the tips that I'm teaching you and other sales trainers as well. But your action item, your takeaway from this podcast is going to be to make a note to use the phrase, I promise to, pretty much at the end of your meetings. You could do it anytime during the meeting, but usually at the end, I'm recapping everything we agreed to do. You actually, to really work repetition, you could do it both, right? You could say it when you have the action item, and at the end, when you're recapping all the action items that were agreed upon. But then, make a note, put it right there in your CRM. When you're going to be calling ABC Company with whatever it is you promised to get them or send along, you're going to use that phrase, like I promised I would, or as promised. So that's pretty much it, folks. Now, obviously, we need to marry this tactic in with other tactics that are going to help you to build trust and to gently guide that prospect into a client. So if you'd like to learn more and you'd like to learn how my clients and I are nurturing prospects into clients, what I'd like you to do is join us this Thursday, November 7th from 11:30 to 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time for a webinar that we have. Now, if you can't make it then, we're going to have a webinar replay, but there's going to be some cool things that I'm going to be doing. First of all, how cool is that, man? I saved you a horrendous coughing in the ear experience. You're welcome. But seriously, I'm going to be sharing 25 different tactics. I have 10 templates that I've created. I've created a communication plan that actually begins the moment you set an appointment with a potential client, right up to that moment when you ask them for the business. We're even going to touch on something that nobody ever likes to talk about. You want to know what it is? It's when, God forbid, somebody ghosts you. They just go MIA. They stop returning calls. They stop returning emails. And there you are, wondering, okay, well, what the hell do I do? So I've got 5 tips just on that alone. So if you'd like to learn more, I want you to visit yoursalesplaybook.com/prospect plan, all lowercase letters, all one word. To learn more, visit yoursalesplaybook.com/prospect plan. With that, I'm Paul Castain from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production. Come visit our blog at yoursalesplaybook.com/blog.